Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the 2019 Youth Education Conference, held in Williamsburg, Virginia.
First of all, this is how to give a talk like a general authority, the EASY way. And I'm so glad that you're in here because guess what? You're going to probably give talks or devotionals the rest of your life. If you're a member of the church, boy, you get to give lots and lots of thoughts, spiritual thoughts. And today I'm going to show you some secrets that I've never seen anywhere else, but I kind of put these together. All right, so the first thing we're going to do, have you ever been in young men or young women's and somebody stands up and they do an object lesson and you're like, oh, I get it. Repentance over here. Maybe you've seen this lesson. Okay, you are the water. Sometimes we sin. We all sin. We all make mistakes. And that's like the red dye and you put it in the water. But then as you think about things, you repent, you pray, you ask Heavenly Father to bless you and to accept your repentance. And that's like Clorox. When you drop Clorox in there, what happens? It gets clear again. That's right. Maybe a lot of you haven't done laundry, but when you drop Clorox in water, it takes out color. And that's a great object lesson. Jesus Christ, when he gave parables, he talked about parables. Right here, Matthew 13:23. Who knows his parable? What's that parable about? Say it loud. Yes, you're right, class, everybody. It's about planting seeds. You know, some seeds got on rocky ledges. Sometimes they got in good soil. That's really good. All right. I have an object lesson right here. Silo, will you come up here? Hey. Oh, I just love LDSHE. You know why? I've been coming since the first one, and I get to see my friend. For me, this is like a big family reunion, and I get to see my friends here at conference. So that's, hopefully, it's going to be the same for you. Okay, object lesson, toothpaste, you use this kind? Okay, no wonder your teeth are so shiny. Okay, so here's some toothpaste. Toothpaste, this can represent words. Sometimes our words are good, and sometimes, and this is the object of the game, is to get the toothpaste on here and not the table. And if anyone has their toothbrush and needs to brush your teeth, right here, you can got you settled here. All right, Silo, this is Silo, first year. Sometimes our words, you can just start squeezing that. We're going to, yes, just stand right here. Make it go really high. Just start at the back and squeeze all the way down. Sometimes we use good, ooh, look at that, good squeezing. Good, sometimes we use our words for good, but sometimes we're really mad at somebody and maybe you're going to post that online. Or you're going to say something to somebody, your friend just did something really rotten, and you're going to, man, you just unload, you just let them have it. And then, guess what? You feel kind of bad. And those are some things you shouldn't have said. And now you feel really awful. So you know what? You know what you're going to do? Okay, Silo, you did a great job. Now, you need to put all that back inside. You're just going to take back all those words. Well, I don't know. It came out. You know, put a pump in there and suck it back in. You're not very helpful. You're not getting that back in here. I don't know. Okay, you don't know how. Do you see how this is sometimes like gossiping? Sometimes you can say words and it's kind of hard to get them back. Those words are out there, especially nowadays with the internet. Those words are there forever. Even if you go back and you're like, oh, take down that post. Sorry, that post was already posted. Thank you, Silo. Let's give it for Silo. Let's hear it for Silo. Okay, object lessons are awesome. Oh, what page are we on? 39. Okay, turn to page 39. And at the very top, where's my notes? There's a place that is called Mormon Share. I was looking up some object lessons. I've done a lot of them. But we don't use Mormon anymore, but that's where it is right now. So mormonshare.com, right here at the very top. So if you need some object lessons, this is a great place. They have like 500. I don't know. They're all alphabetized. It's really cool. So that's a really cool thing. But today we're going to talk about giving a different kind of object lesson. All right, so turn to page 40. This talk, we're going to go back and forth, page to page. So on page 40, let me give you a talk, first of all. In Mark, verse 37 through 39, this is what it says. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. So it was now full. And he was in the hinder part. He's talking about Christ. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Okay, before I get to the next line, who's on this ship? Okay, the 12 apostles. And what kind of jobs did some of those 12 apostles have before they were full-time apostles?
Fishermen.
Okay, this group right here, they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? These weren't like city folk going on a little cruise. These were experienced fishermen. They were used to being on the water. That must have been a really bad storm for them to wake up Jesus Christ, who is asleep. How is he sleeping? He's asleep, and they are like, we're going to die out here. Not good. So they wake him up, and he arose. This is Christ. And rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I've had lots of callings in my life, but one of my most recent one, I taught in the nursery. So much fun! And this one, I'd show the picture, and my little nursery kids, we'd talk about the story, and the winds came, and the rain came. And then Christ stood up, and he said, put your hands up like this. Peace, be still. And there's nothing better than a two-year-old walking around, peace, be still. You know, they can't even talk, and they're peace, be still. There are times in our lives where we have experiences. For example, I once received a calling to be the young women's president. We had just kind of moved into this ward. We'd been there, I don't know, maybe 6 months. And the bishop calls us in, and I thought, oh, it's my husband getting the calling. And we had four kids at the time, and they were little, and they were running around. And I was like, look, bishop, you go ahead and talk to my husband. I'm going to sit out here with the kids. I fully support my husband in any calling you want to give him. I'm sitting, okay, get the Cheerios. Oh, no, sit down, don't run. I'm running around trying to get my kids. And the bishop's in there just chatting away with my husband about the weather. And the bishop finally comes out in the hallway, and I'm like wrestling these kids down. And he says, we need you in here. Okay, are you sure? Because I'm wrestling out here. I'm having a good time here in the hallway with my kids. And he's like, yeah, we need you in here. So, peace be still, kids, don't move. So I walk in and I sit down with the bishop, and the bishop leans over on his desk and he says, we want to give you a calling. And I'm like, me? I already have a calling. Oh, you mean my husband? And he's like, no, we want you to be the young women's president. I was like, whoa. I said, bishop, I don't even like girls that age. There's too much drama. You know, my kids are young. I don't think I can do that. My life is pretty calm right now. I have a calling. I'm in the primary. I'm helping do stuff. But young women's president? All of a sudden, I felt like I was on that ship. Holy cow, I'm going to be seasick, Bishop. Just a minute. Where's your garbage can? But he was like, no, we've prayed about it. We feel the Lord wants you to have this calling. And I'm like, I've never said no to a calling. But this will be a good time to start, don't you think? I said, Bishop, I'm going to have to really pray about this because I trust you as my bishop, but and my husband, he's laughing at me. He's like, oh yeah, this is good, this is good. We walked out of there and the kids are, you know, wrestling still on the floor. I'm like, okay, kids, we got to go get in the car. Oh, and I got in the car and my parents called just out of the blue. They were serving a mission in Sweden, so the time's all different. They're like, hey, how you doing? And I said, Mom, I can't even talk to you right now. You'll have to call later. My mom was like, we're calling from Sweden. I know. I can't talk right now. Oh. Okay, I was on that ship. Those waves were coming in. Young women's. Oh, no, that means girls camping, going to trek. That means youth activities every Wednesday. Oh, my goodness. I was holding on to the boat, and I felt that way for about a week. Next Sunday, they sustained me. I did say, okay, Bishop. They sustained me, and as I sat down, the bishop laid his hands on my head, and he gave me a blessing because they set you apart. That's what they do. And he gave me a blessing. And all of a sudden, I felt peace. Be still. Do it with me again. Peace. Be still. Okay. So I felt peace right then. But then the next Wednesday, when I walked into young women and they're on the floor and they're hanging from the chandeliers, those waves started coming again, but I was like, nope, peace be still, everybody. Peace be still. We can do this. We can do this. Have you ever, okay, and then we did okay. We got that calling. That was good. I've had other callings. I've worked in primary. I've worked in Relief Society. I've worked with the Cub Scouts. I had the Boy Scouts. And then I got called as a seminary teacher. Oh my goodness, there we go again on that ship. Seminary, no, you know. Peace, be still. Okay, Heavenly Father, just because I felt peace didn't make it easy, but I felt at peace. I did not have all those callings at once. Thank goodness I'd be off that ship. I'd be drowning by then. So no, I just one at a time. Usually you just get one at a time, but I was okay. But getting that blessing, or sometimes you might have turmoil inside where you're not physically on a boat, there's no waves, you're doing okay, but inside you might have a storm brewing in you. And sometimes you can kneel down on your knees and say, Heavenly Father, I need peace. Have you ever had an experience? We're going to talk a lot about things that have happened in your life. Have you ever had an experience where you felt you were not at peace and you either got a blessing or you said a prayer and you felt peace be still? Have you ever had an experience like that? Okay, you might have had an experience, you just can't think of it right now, but be thinking about those experiences. Maybe some of you, you all are living calm lives. It's all calm water. Homeschooling is a breeze. There's no problems here. There's no trouble. I'm just on the ship of homeschooling. Ho, ho, ho. Pirates, okay, like the dance last night, okay. No, you will have turmoil in your life and you will need that peace be still. And sometimes when my life is a little crazy, I just walk around the house going, peace be still. Okay, I got this, I got this. Okay? You can give a talk based on this. So look on page, I think we're on page 40, right here in the middle, right here, where it says, let's finish this easy talk. We're going to talk about what EASY stands for in just a minute. So experience right here, right up here. So here's the experience. Here's my scripture. Smooth sailing. Everything's going great. Then there's wind and storms. Call out. They called and they woke up Christ. And peace be still. Christ stood up and he calmed not only the ocean, but he calmed the waters, but he also calmed their fears. Okay? In my life, this is where I got a calling right here. So I was smooth sailing. I'm happy in primary. I'm doing just great. All of a sudden, I got a really hard calling that was kind of scary. Then I prayed, Heavenly Father, help me do this. I got a blessing, and then I felt peace. In your life, you're going to be able to fill in this chart. When have you felt the wind and storms? When have you felt at unrest? Did you pray? Did you get help? And did you feel peace? All right, let me tell you another one. In Matthew 4, 18 through 20, it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two, I love water, I guess. We live in Virginia Beach, so we're by the water. And so everything we talk about today, a lot of water. So, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Verse 19, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Okay, let me tell you another experience I had. When I was in high school, I was about 17, and I ran track. And I was really athletic. I played volleyball, and I played basketball, and I ran track, and I played softball. So I was in pretty good shape. Well, I ran the 880. That was my race. And so my coach, we were at districts, and my coach came up to me and she said, hey, we need another runner in the 440. And I'm like, okay, put me in, coach. I'm ready to go. So the coach puts me in, and I'm in this race in a track I've never run on before, but I was like, oh, that's okay, I can do this. And there's 40 other girls running. And I'm kind of in the back because I have never run this race. And but there's a whole bunch of girls on the very front row. And they're like, you don't use the stocks. They just shoot a gun and everybody runs. And I'm standing in the back and they're about to shoot off the gun. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. I've never run this race. I don't even know how many times I'm supposed to go around the track. I can't run this race. I don't even know. How am I going to run if I don't know how many laps I need to go? This is a little crazy. And as I was like starting my panic mode, like, I don't know what to do. I had a cute friend, and she was on the very front row. She was really fast, and her name was Chris. And she leaned back, and she saw me back there, probably with this look on my face, and she said, "Hey, Kari, follow me. Just follow us." Because there were two or three of them from our school. And I was like, okay. And boom, they shot off the gun, and everybody started running. And she was like first, and I was like 40th. And she took off really, really fast because she was really, really fast. And I was like, oh, I have to stay with Chris, or I won't know how many times to run around. So I'm dodging people, and I'm running, and I'm like, where's Chris? Where's Chris? Okay, she has the red shirt on. Okay, and I get up there, and I'm following her, and she's running really fast, and I'm dying. But I'm like, I gotta follow her. I can't. I have to follow her because I won't know when to stop. What if I just keep running the rest of my life? So I just kept running and running, and I kept Chris, and she was still ahead of me a ways, but I dodged quite a few people, and I was up there. By the end of the race, when Chris stopped, it's time to stop, I came in fourth out of 40. I was pretty amazed. Your mouth is open, so was mine. I was trying to breathe, but I was like, I came in fourth? I guess there were three people ahead of me. Yeah, thanks, Chris, you know. A miracle that I made it, but I just needed someone to give me direction. When Chris said, come, follow me, all I needed was that invitation to do it. Do you see how these two stories are similar? Okay, I have given this talk before. This isn't the first time. So sometimes I tell this story about Jesus Christ and how he said to his new disciples, follow me. And what did those disciples do? Straightway left their nets. They didn't say, well, hey, we got all these fish. Can we just meet you after work? We're going to make some tuna fish sandwiches here. Can we just eat those and then we'll follow you? No, they straightway left their nets and followed him. That was an invitation. So sometimes I start, if I have to give a talk in church, sometimes I start with this story. And then I tell this story and how it applies to the gospel. Sometimes I start with this story and I apply it to the gospel. You can go either way, and you're going to have experiences in your life that you're going to be able to share. So when general authorities give talks in general conference, they always have these really cool experiences, and then they talk about this experience, and then they relate it to their life. Or they talk about this experience they had, and they relate it to the gospel. So that's what we're going to do here. You tell an experience, you apply it. So if this is your experience, so I tell the story of the race, and then I apply it to the gospel by reading this story about Christ. Scripture, so E-A-S is the scripture. Y is your testimony. Because that's really clever, E-A-S-Y. Okay, so T, it wouldn't work. It'd say East if you just had testimony at the end. So, all right, let me show you another example. Oh.
In today's difficult world, with increasing conflict and alluring temptations, Father in Heaven wants each of us to enjoy peace and happiness. I will illustrate the wrong way and then the proper way using an analogy to rock climbing. There are those who attempt to scale a difficult rock cliff by a method called free soloing. They ascend alone, without equipment, companions, or any secure protection. They depend on their own skill and capacity. They do it for the thrill of living on the edge with high risk. They're like many who face the challenges and the temptations of life without the security of following the commandments of God, guided by the Holy Spirit. In today's difficult world, they will almost surely violate critical laws with painful, destructive consequences. Do not solo in life. You will almost certainly fall into transgression.
I'm sure he was okay.
There's a safer way to rock climb. While technical rock climbing appears to be risky and dangerous, precautions assure an exhilarating experience safely accomplished by following correct principles. When a pair of climbers tackles a difficult ascent, the leader scales a wall, placing anchors a few feet apart. His rope is linked to the anchor by a carabiner. They have planned a route and determined how they will work together. When the leader scales far enough and finds a convenient place that is very safe, he belays while taking up the rope as a second follows the pitch or length of rope that has been extended. The process is then repeated. Let the Savior be your lead in life. His laws are absolutely secure anchors of protection that dispel fear and assure success in an otherwise dangerous world. True and enduring happiness, with the accompanying strength, courage, and capacity to overcome the greatest difficulties, will come as you center your life in Jesus Christ. Obedience to his teachings provides a secure ascent in the journey of life. The secure anchors of his laws will assure safety and success as you scale the challenges you will face. Yours will be a life of peace and happiness, crowned with exaltation in the celestial kingdom of God.
How awesome is that? Okay, on page 40, there's a little box and it says, more Easy Talk videos. These are more great videos that are kind of like what we're talking about today. Okay, now I've turned back to 39. All right, so in the middle it says a secure anchor LDS video. So right here, so the first part of this video, he talks about a rock wall, and he talks about this climber who doesn't have a rope, and he's scaling the mountain. Then he applies it to the gospel. What did he say? What could we say is the rock wall?
Hardship,
a trial, or something that you just need to climb over. Good. How about anchors? What could be an anchor that he was talking about?
Jesus
Christ. Good. Yes, friends or mentors. Excellent. Or even gospel principles, some of those. A carabiner, those clippy things. What could those be? A testimony. Good. Things that keep you connected to that wall. All right. Do you see how he used the E? He told about an experience that wasn't gospel-oriented. Then he told another experience, but it applied to the gospel. So he told that story twice. He told the story about the rock climber who didn't have any ropes and just went solo. Then he talked about rock climbing again, but this time he talked about it, applying it to the gospel. Okay? Then you find a scripture and end with your testimony. All right, let me tell you another story. And while I'm telling you this, I want you to be thinking about something in your life that was probably similar. All right, I am not in this picture. I do not sing like the last speaker did, so I will not give you a solo or a dance. I could dance, but I won't do that now. Anyway, I joined their state choir because I like to sing. And so as I was in the state choir, my favorite place to sit was right in between the two best alto singers in the choir. I loved to sit next to them because they always got the right note. And me, I can't always find the note that they're singing, but when I'm surrounded by them, boy, I can sing really well. In fact, I can sing rather loud when they're next to me, when I'm sitting right by them, because they know the notes. Well, sometimes when they were gone, or one of them would be gone, I would have to lean in to this one who's singing really good, because this one, she's as off as I am. So I'd be over here trying to catch the notes, trying to sing. You know what? This is a lot like living the gospel. When you have good friends surrounding you, it's easier to live the gospel. You're not tempted to do things that aren't right. If everyone else around you is doing good stuff, you're just doing good stuff with them. Have you ever had an experience where you found it easy to live the standards? Have you ever been in an activity? Or maybe the opposite is true. Maybe like Rachel, who spoke last, when she walked into that party, she felt, what did she say? Who left? The Spirit. It should have been her who turned around and said, I'm leaving because I feel the Spirit leaving. Sometimes you have those opposite experiences that you can talk about. So think about a time where you were surrounded by good people. Did you join something because you were around good people that maybe you wouldn't have joined the drama or been in the play or joined a sport or even played an instrument? How many here have ever been in a choir? Have you ever had this experience?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, I see some heads nodding. Yes, maybe you're the one who's the perfect pitch. You know what? I pitched softball. I'm a perfect pitch that way. But as far as being on pitch, not so much. So, you're going to write a talk right now. Okay, on your paper, right here where it says stay in tune, this is my experience. And I want you to take your pencil or your pen and you're going to cut this talk in half. So the top part says I was sitting in the choir and then it ends with the word notes. Draw a line right there. And the part underneath it, where it says it's easier to stay true to the gospel if we're surrounded by strong people. It's important that we find and keep strong friends, blah, blah, blah. You can use that bottom paragraph as part of your talk. And maybe you're in here going, oh dear, the bishop asked me to speak on Sunday. Guess what? We're writing your talk for you right now. Okay? Or maybe you have to give a devotional at seminary, or maybe in family home evening, you need to give a spiritual thought. These are all good things. All right, so the bottom paragraph you can use, and the top paragraph, so draw a line right across there, and the top one You're going to think of an experience in your life where you were surrounded by good people. They might be your brothers and sisters, but have they ever helped you do something good? Turn to page 39. Sorry, I'm jumping back and forth. So page 39, just draw a line. Can I borrow your pen right here? Can I borrow this? All right, you're going to just draw a line right like that. You can use the bottom paragraph as part of your talk. It's okay. I'm good. We're sharing. This is good. We're sharing. But your experience is going to be different than my experience. So I was in the choir, and if that's your experience, then you can just tell your story and not my story. But maybe your good friends helped you join. Maybe you were really nervous and didn't want to play in a sport, but your good friend said, hey, come on, let's go do this. Or maybe you played basketball this year for in your stake. Maybe your stake has basketball. And you were like, no thanks. And somebody said, hey, yeah, let's do it. Let's go along. Have you had an experience like that? Somebody? Anyone? Yeah? Okay. Do you want to tell? Anyone want to share? What are you supposed to be doing? Okay. Think of an experience where someone, maybe they put their hand around you and said, hey, come on, we're going to go do this thing. And it was a good and righteous thing. You're like, okay, I guess I'll take violin lessons. If you're going to take violin lessons, I guess I'll do that. You want to go on the swim team? I'll be on the swim team because you need a friend. That's really scary to me, but let's do it together. Okay? So you're going to tell your experience in this top paragraph. Okay. All right, let me tell you another really quick story. So I played the piano, and I was in high school, and I had this recital. And I should have been a concert pianist the many years that I took piano. No, I was not. I was pretty bad because I never practiced. So we have this big piano recital coming up, and we get to the recital, and I am like, I'm so nervous. My teacher was like, no music, no music. You can't have any music. You have to memorize the whole thing. So I get up there, and of course I'm like the oldest one. You know, there's all these kids down to age 5, and I'm the oldest one, should be the best one, right? So I start playing this song, and I get halfway through, and I can still remember with my papers that I couldn't have, but in my mind I was like, oh yeah, I got to this part, and right there, I can still remember, page 2 at the top, I couldn't remember what happened after that. And as I was going along, I was almost there, and I thought, I know this song repeats, I'll just start over, and no one will notice, right? So I started playing again. And I got to that part, and it was like, well, that's pretty good, okay. Got to that part again, and I started over again. And I thought, well, I'm not looking at the crowd. They're probably all going, what is she doing? Because I was looking away, and I was like, oh, dear, I don't know. I got to the same point. I took my hands off the piano. I stood up, and I bowed, and I was like, I just want to crawl under my seat because I'm so embarrassed. Here I am. 16 years old, 17, I can't remember, but oh, I could have just died because it was like I was so bad. I'd forgotten, I didn't practice. Okay, how does that apply to the gospel? Well, like a testimony, if you can't just go on a mission and say, I hope I get a testimony here. Where are they? They must hand them out at the MTC. No, they don't. You have to have those before. How do you get a testimony? You practice. Okay, so right now, I want you each to think about an experience in your life, because I'm hoping each and every one of you has had an experience where you were not prepared. Have you ever had that experience? Maybe you had an experience like mine, playing the piano. Maybe you were on a camp out and forgot your sleeping bag, even though your mom said it's right by the door. Okay, maybe in sports, maybe a school assignment. Have you ever not been prepared?
Raise your hand. Yes? Okay. Well, raise your hand if you've had that experience. No, just raise your hand. Okay. So most of you, no, you turn everything on time. You never forget anything. You're always on top of stuff. No, probably not. Ask your mother if you can't think of an example. All right. So tell me a story. So right now, we're going to go back to this one. This one is right here on the top. Okay? The experience is you're signed up for something, whether you signed up or your piano recital, whatever, or it's an event, maybe it's a race. You didn't practice or pack, so write these in on the top row. So here's your experience. You signed up or the event. On mine, I wrote recital. Don't practice, and then I failed. And I was like the only 17-year-old crawling under the chairs, and the 5-year-olds are getting up and playing beautifully. What a failure. So bad. Okay? And we're going to apply this to the gospel. So we're going to leave this one blank, but don't practice. So maybe you didn't practice. Maybe you never gained a testimony. Testimonies take work. If you want a testimony of the scriptures, what do you have to do? Read the scriptures, okay? If you want a testimony to know Heavenly Father's there, what do? Pray. You pray a lot, and you will have experiences. You'll have experiences and have that testimony, and you are not prepared. Who here has had an experience where they weren't prepared and is willing to share? Yes, right here. So stand up right here.
So one time I had to go to this conference where I had to like write this whole paper on landmines and like about this country that I had no idea anything about it. And my partner did all the research, but I just like, it was my first time and I didn't do anything and I regretted it. I couldn't talk or debate or anything. I was just like terrified and I wasn't prepared and I failed.
Okay. That's an excellent talk. Too bad you failed, but that's a great experience. Okay, so write that down. When have you failed? I mean, failure, you hate to talk about, you always talk about, oh, my great success. No, 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 it's okay to talk about your failures if you learn from them. Me, did I get better at the piano? No, I stopped taking. I was like, I can just crawl under the chair now. I'll just stop. So that would be an excellent talk. You've just written your whole talk. Your friend did the work, and you got too nervous, you couldn't even present. How does that apply to the gospel? It's like a testimony. If you're not working hard to get a testimony, then when you go on a mission, you won't have, those are things you have to work on, step by step by step. Okay, oh, so quickly, right here. Where there's three lines, I want you to write down three things that you are really good at or you know something about. Okay? You only have 30 seconds to do this. Write fast. Okay, time's up. Maybe not, but we're going to move on. Okay. Because it's like a race and I'm running as fast as I can and it's almost time's up. Okay, so if you need to give a talk, you have three things written down that you know something about. Maybe, so, and I'm just going to give you my little examples here. We used to have cats a long time ago, and these cats were so silly. They'd chase after, we'd have a flashlight and they'd chase after it. Okay, they would do that, or a piece of string, and you'd go like this, and they'd run and run and run, and you just thought that was so funny. Well, how is that? How can I apply that funny little cat story to the gospel? I get distracted. I'm just like that cat. Oh, look here on Facebook. Oh, look at that funny video. Oh, look, here's another link. Oh, look, here's another one. Hello, I'm just like the cat. Oh, I get distracted. I love the internet. There's all kinds of really amazing, cool things. But you can get distracted, just like that cat. So the first one is my experience, that's the E. A, apply it to the gospel. My cat gets distracted, I get distracted. What you're doing with this easy talk is it's like you're doing an object lesson with an experience that you have had. Now, on here, I have given you some prompts. If you want to be able to write a talk, here's some examples right here. So at the top it says music, so examples, harmony. Could you tell me a story about being in harmony or disharmony? Okay, tell your experience about music and how is that like the gospel? We need to be in harmony someday as a missionary companion. You need to be in harmony with the Holy Ghost. Or you're going to have that whoosh, the Holy Ghost will leave you if you're not in harmony with the commandments. Okay? Sports, pets, drawing, driving a car, science, anyway, the list goes on. So these are some ideas where you have an experience and you're going to have experiences in your life that you might not think, wow, that's life-changing. Like the cat? Well, okay, everybody knows that about cats. But you tell your experience and apply it to the gospel. That's how the general authorities do it. They tell an experience they've had in their life, then they explain how that's like the gospel. Turn to page 40. I've given you some other examples, and we don't have time to go over all of these, but right here where it says on this side over here, where it says pick a story, I've given you some really cool stories from the scriptures. And all you have to do is tell the story, and you can tell it just like this one over here where Jesus calms the storm. You can even do peace, be still. Okay, amaze your audience. Peace, be still. So you tell the experience, then you apply it to your life. Okay, there's some experiences right here from the scriptures that you can apply to your life. And then if you are still like, I'm not really sure, watch every one of these videos. They're awesome. And it does the same thing. They tell one story and then they apply it to the gospel. Or they start with a scripture story and they apply it to their life. This has been a great thing in my life, and it's made me really stop and appreciate the experiences that I'm having in my life. Now, when I ran that race, at the end of the race, when I was trying to breathe, did I stop and say, this is like an experience I can share the rest of my life? No. I was too busy trying to breathe, but I didn't stop and think at the moment until much, much later. Those experiences that you're having right now, the good ones, the hard ones, the easy ones, those are all experiences that you can use to better your life and to also share. I hope you got all that really fast. So anyway, there's more information on here. Read through, but watch those videos and learn how to use the lessons that the experiences the Lord's given you to bless not only your life, but the lives of those around you. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Woo!
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.